Welcome to Eye to Eye, the podcast of the Royal College of Ophthalmologists. My name is Sunil Mamtora, and I will be your host.
Today, I'm speaking with Kavita Agarwal, an ophthalmology trainee from Oxford. Kavita, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about well-being. You know, why is it so important at the moment?
Well, I think well-being's always been important, but now with coronavirus and the lockdown and things changing on such a rapid daily basis, I think well-being's becoming even more important. And I think the NHS is kind of recognising that. The trusts are doing a lot more around to help people, and doctors especially, within the hospital. We know that doctors are at such a high risk of burnout. So it's becoming even more important to make sure that doctors' well-being is well looked after. There's a lot of anxiety or stress from work. And then on top of that, with lockdown and all of these kind of changing guidelines on a daily basis, it's really important to look after yourself so that you're able to look after the patients. And the way I kind of think about it is really finding calm amongst chaos. And I think that kind of defines what well-being is, just trying to find calm amongst the chaos, whether that's in the hospital, whether that's in your personal life at home. And there are so many different ways to do that.
So how do you find calm amongst the chaos?
So I think, you know, it's not just one thing, and it's not one thing that works for everyone. I think there's lots of different things to do. I personally spend a lot of time making sure that I eat well and I drink well, because I think that's really important. It helps focus your mind, it keeps you healthy, and it's really, you act as a role model for your patients as well. It's hard in the diabetes clinic to advise about eating fruit and vegetables if you're not really doing that. So I think really keeping eating well and drinking lots of water is really good for your mental well-being as well as your physical well-being. Kind of side by side with that, I think exercise is really important. Any sort of exercise that you do, whether that's walking, whether that's running, it helps to clear your mind, but also keeps you fit. I remember I used to be quite active. I used to play football and badminton at my university. And then really, as soon as training hit, there wasn't really time for that. And I just took a step back and I thought, I really must carry on with these things. It was really good for my mental well-being. And I decided to sign up for the Brighton Marathon a few years ago. And it really just showed that if you put your mind to it and you can just get back into that. And I felt so good after. Yeah, I'd say that running's really helps clear my mind, both from work and, you know, it keeps you physically fit as well, which I think is really important.
It's something that we really need to put a conscious effort into, isn't it? To, you know, stay active and really motivate ourselves. Because especially with lockdowns, it's so easy to just say to yourself, you know, well, it's a lockdown, I should really stay at home, and just use that as a justification for not doing any exercise.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there are lots and lots of virtual classes that you can do, lots of virtual yoga, lots of Pilates, those kinds of things. So there's no excuse really not to be doing it. Recently, we had a deanery training meeting, and I know one of my consultants loves doing yoga. So he invited us all to learn about how good yoga was. So we had a deanery wide hot yoga lesson, and you know, John Ferris was there, Mr. Patel was there. We were all just enjoying ourselves doing yoga, just completely emptying our minds and cleansing our minds. And I know a lot of people find that really useful. I mean, the downward facing dog isn't for everyone, but I would certainly recommend trying it.
So was that a Zoom based online teaching then?
So that was actually just before lockdown, so we were lucky enough to do it in person. And I know a few of our trainees have carried that on during lockdown because they found it quite useful.
That's amazing. So you said a lot of the hospitals are doing lots to help trainees and doctors and healthcare workers in general with their well-being. You know, what's your hospital doing?
I think the hospital is really important and fundamental to your well-being. In my hospital, there's quite a lot of chaos with rotas, trying to organise people into emergency departments or filling rota gaps. So, you know, the hospital really takes time to send you out the rota in advance so that you can kind of plan what you're going to do, make sure you can find time to go through your surgical lists in advance. So I think knowing what's going to happen helps you find that calm. There are a lot of apps that we've been kind of told about that we can help to. They can help you with meditation. They can help you with sleeping. We've got sleep pods at our hospital in the mess now. So, you know, if you just want a 10-minute nap, then you can just go and have a nap. And they've really recognised that sleeping is really, really fundamental to you functioning well.
That's really, really cool. So these sleep pods, have you had a chance to use them yet?
I myself haven't needed them, but lots of the doctors are using them. There's always food stocked up in the fridges as well. So, you know, it's just a place to find 5 minutes between running between patients or running between theatre. So it just gives you that 5 minutes just to kind of stay calm before you move on to the next thing.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I mean, I think there are some situations where I'm quite tired during clinic. And, you know, being able to go for a nap whilst waiting for a patient to dilate would be really good.
Depends how quickly you can fall asleep, really.
So how well do you sleep, Kavita?
I think sleeping is the number one key to success. And I think if you can sleep well, then, you know, the next day is a breeze. And I've always been one of those people that actually finds it quite easy to sleep. I normally kind of take regular naps during the day. So if I'm revising, I take a 12-minute nap every 2 hours just to help clear my mind. And in order to be able to do that, I think you must have a completely clear mind. So whatever you're thinking about or whatever's worrying you, you have to set that aside in order to put your mind completely at rest. So I often have a notepad by my bedside table, and anything that worries me or anything that I think I can't solve in that moment, I just write it down, put it away, and then keep my mind completely clear before I sleep. And I think having good sleep hygiene, putting yourself to bed early, you know, showering before bedtime, whatever you need to kind of put yourself completely at ease so that your mind isn't constantly working and buzzing like it does in the daytime.
That's really, really important. I think, you know, especially with so much stress going on at the moment with work and things outside of work, it is easy to struggle to sleep as well.
So I think work stress has been really at the forefront in the last couple of months, especially. You know, we have to deal with the clinical work, the kind of audit side of things, making sure that we do publications. And now we've got more, we've got less patients. So, I'm constantly worried, am I going to get my CBDs done? Am I going to get enough theatre time? Am I going to be able to meet all of the targets which are required of me to pass at my ARCP? But really, I think it's about planning and just trying to make the most of the situation that you do have. So speak to your consultants in advance, ask them if they're happy to speak to you or discuss emergency patients, and then spend some time with them just discussing the case. And you can do it as a CBD or a work-based assessment, for example. And I think my trust or my deanery is very keen on us using the simulator, knowing that we might not have as much theatre experience as we might need. Just going to the simulator or asking a consultant to watch you on the wet lab doing some suturing, those are really, really important skills, and that will keep you up to date so that when you do get the chance to go back to theatre or you do get to operate on a patient, that you aren't nervous or anxious about that, and you can really show off the skills that you've been kind of honing in over lockdown. One thing that I found really useful is there's an online form. If you just go into Google and type in ICO Oscar, you can grade each step of your cataract surgery or ask your facilitator to kind of go through each step. So along that, alongside recording your surgery, means that, you know, you can really analyse each step of the surgery to make sure that you're doing it at a level that's expected. And there's so many online videos now that, you know, you don't have to necessarily be in the operating room to be improving your cataract skills. So I think really technology is advancing so quickly that that lockdown really shouldn't affect your kind of surgery or the anxiety around being back to surgery.
That's a really valid point. And some of the points we've mentioned already, like sleep, making sure we drink enough water, you know, they really do apply to all doctors and all healthcare professionals. But I think the points you've just mentioned there, I think they really do specifically apply to ophthalmology trainees. And especially when people have gone through an extended period without operating, you know, people can understandably face anxiety with returning to theatre and returning to surgery. You know, have you got any other tips, for example, you know, when you're coming into theatre on the day of surgery, you know, how to really keep yourself calm and focused and not worried about other things going on in your life?
So I think the important thing is to remember, we're all going to have breaks from theatre at some point, whether that's, you know, going on maternity leave, returning back from annual leave, coming back from lockdown. And it's, you know, we have learnt these skills. We do have the skills. It's just about going through a routine to try and make it more and more familiar for you. So me personally, I like to look at my patients, go through the operating list and choose the lenses well in advance of the list to reduce the anxiety on the day. when I go into the theatre, I like to spend some time just adjusting the microscope, cleaning it, even if it doesn't look dirty. I mean, I've been to theatre where a VR list has just happened before me and there's just water all over the microscope. And it's not until you started your Rexis that you can't really see. So, you know, I think spend 5 minutes just adjusting your IPD, making sure the controls and the pedals are all in the right position, and clean the microscope just helps me focus. Even if it doesn't, you know, it's just a routine that just helps me to put me in the mindset of going into cataract theatre. And I've done that since I was an ST1. I do exactly the same process every single time. And it's kind of trained my mind to think, okay, now you're in cataract mode. And regardless of what other stresses you have going on at home or at work, this is the next, you know, couple of hours are specifically related to cataract surgery and doing whatever you can for that patient.
Hmm. So are there any particular things that really do cause you anxiety, or things that annoy you or upset you or irritate you? And how have you learned to kind of cut those down?
There's so many things that you could find annoying, but I think it's really important to just think about what's in your control and what's not in your control, so that you don't end up worrying about things that you can't really change. Because, you know, I've certainly spent lots of time worrying about something and not being able to change it at all, and then thinking, why did I waste my time on that when there was other things I could have done that I could actually have changed. Things I find annoying is when things aren't planned for. So I try to plan as much as I possibly can. If I know that I've got an early start the next morning, then I just try to plan in advance, make sure that everything's done in terms of things like timetables, making sure there's cover for, you know, the rotor gaps. There's nothing like that that's going to hit me last minute and be unexpected. So that if something unexpected does happen on the day, then everything around me is kind of calm. As I said, it's all about finding that calm amongst the chaos. At work, there's always new things happening, whether that's at the time of the surgery. I mean, as medics, and especially ophthalmologists, we're so used to being adaptable and flexible to what's going on. We all have a standard kind of cataract regime that we go through. But as soon as something new or unexpected goes on, we do know how to adapt or change our techniques based on what we already know to kind of carry that forward. And I think the same thing applies to the rest of your life, really. Things that are in your control, you should control, and things that aren't, just reduce the, you know how to deal with these situations, just deal with them the best you can. And, you know, there's lots of other people who might be in exactly the same situation as you, whether that's other colleagues, friends, people not in medical, you know, people not in the medical field as well, I'm sure will have had similar experiences of anxiety or stress. And just speaking to them, it just makes you feel more normal that actually everyone goes through stress and anxiety, and it's perfectly normal. It's just about how you really deal with that.
So Kavita, you know, what resources are available for those who are struggling or want to have some more advice about well-being?
So there's lots of different resources. I think contact your local trust, and the trust librarian often has lots of different resources. Your GP again has lots of resources, and the NHS as a whole has got lots of different things. Public Health England has just published the Your Mind Plan, which you can go online, and it tells you it asks you a set of questions, and it tailors exactly what advice they give you, whether you're struggling more with sleep or eating or any substance abuse, for example. They go through all of that, and that's very helpful. I know the College of Ophthalmology have just appointed a mentoring and buddy lead, Mrs. Rahila Zakir. So I'm sure in the new year we'll hear lots more exciting things about mindfulness and mental health from the college. Claire Murdoch, the National Mental Health Director of NHS England and NHS Improvement, has got lots of information online about mental well-being and the NHS. And there's lots of different apps out there. There's well-being apps like Sleepio, Daylight, Unmind and Headspace. And I recently came across something called a virtual staff room app, where you have a one-to-one meeting for about an hour with about 10 NHS staff, and you can just debrief about anything that you want to at all. There's also the NHS Employees Emotional Wellbeing Toolkit, which I found quite useful just to help with some of those.
Kavita, just finishing off there, what would your, you know, top tips be for example, a trainee who does feel that they're struggling a bit and is feeling that they're almost at the verge of being burned out?
So I think if you're at risk of being burned out, then you should try to speak to people, whether that's your educational supervisor, clinical supervisor, your GP or your friends, just to help you through it and see what additional help that you might leave. Things like make sure you take your annual leave. That's what it's there for. It's a chance to take a break from your clinics. So definitely take your leave and do something that you enjoy during that time away. Put your out of office on your emails and just really focus on being away from the hospital for a bit. Find time to relax, whether that's taking up a new hobby, reading books that aren't necessarily ophthalmology related. Just do things that you enjoy. And finally, reflect on what goes well in your life. It's very easy to focus on the negatives or think about things that aren't going so well, but there's lots of things on a daily basis that are going well for you. You know, my final words of wisdom are just really find the calm amongst the chaos that we live in a world that we don't really know what's going to happen next, but there's always, always opportunities to try and find the calm.
Well, thanks, Kavita. That's been really enjoyable.
Thank you.
Don't forget, abstract submission for College Congress 2021 is now open, and the deadline has been extended until 9 a.m. on the 18th of January. Although things may change, it is the college's intention to run the 2021 Congress as a hybrid of a virtual and a full physical meeting. As always, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to get involved, talk about your work, or have any feedback, send us a message at communications@rcops.ac.uk.